Welcome to the April 17th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Today is Easter, and the multi-generational service was led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Kimberly Homer.
Good morning, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley on the native lands of the Tutelo and Monacan people, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Kimberly Homer, and I'm leading worship today with our Reverend Pam Phillips. If you're with us for the first time, we're glad you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitor's card in the chat or a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow you wish to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat or cards near the entrance to the sanctuary, or a helpful greeter will find one for you, and someone will collect them during the opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. See the calendar on our website for times, location, links, and contact information. Thanks to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make these activities possible.
Good morning. As we prepare for worship, those of you who are at home, there are some controls at the bottom of your Zoom screen. If you want to turn on your video for us to see you in a few moments, just click on the camera icon. Stay muted by keeping the mute button, looks like a microphone on, and there should be transcription on the bottom. And if for some reason that's really distracting to you, just click on the button that says CC and you can control how the subtitles look. Those of you in the sanctuary, if you have a telephone, put it in worship mode, i.e. turn off the sound so it doesn't interrupt us in the service. We have a few announcements I want to lift up. Next Saturday, we're having a meeting to create outreach action plans. It's an outreach summit. If you are interested in coming or have ideas of how we can do outreach in the community, contact Gene Gardner and he'll get you set up. Also, the Dugans next Saturday are inviting the quarter lifers and anyone of any age to join them as they do Brumen and Bloomin, which is environmental cleanup for the county. I also want to lift up that there is beautiful photography in Elarth and in the hallway in the back and in the front foyer. That's Eileen Fletcher's gorgeous photography. So as you go outside today, make sure you take a moment to look at that artwork. There was one other thing I was supposed to announce today. Oh yes, there's a stewardship activity at 1 o'clock. Folks are meeting at the Food Lion on North Main Street. And then they're going to drive up and hike up Bald Knob. And there's room for anyone who'd like to go have a beautiful Easter afternoon hike. I think that is all of my announcements, but I'd like to invite Jim Flowers up, who's going to talk to us about the upcoming auction. Jim.
Start spreading the news. 20 days from today, we'll make a brand new start of it at UUC.
Yes, yes, 20 days from today, Saturday night, May the 7th, from 5 to 8, we're going to do something we haven't done, give or take, 2.5 years. We're going to have a rip snorting, finger licking, cotton picking party. Think about it, a party. Starts at 5 o'clock, guess where? In Elarth. Food, glorious food, all over the tables. If you're in the mood, eat till you're disabled. We haven't had that full spread room full of food in 2.5 years. Is that cool or what? No, it's not cool. And a big deal about that is that this year we're not featuring stuff. You can't go in the back room and buy a carved broomstick. You can't do that. Well, if somebody's got one, maybe they'll sell it to you, but that's another story. No, this year we're selling community. We're selling a community. Everything has to do with people getting together, whether it's one-on-one to trade a pie or many-on-many to take a hike. Think about, you know, you're talking about this afternoon. Think about this morning, if this was a morning after the auction, and 25 people were getting together to walk over there on the farm. Who will buy this beautiful morning? Such a sky I never did see. Who will tie it up with a ribbon and put it in a box for me? Do that. Even if you don't buy it for yourself, buy it for somebody else. We're getting together. That's what it's all about this year. May 7th from 5 to 8. You can make donations on the auction website. That's clickable from the UUC main page or the newsletter, lots of places. And you can pre-look at all the stuff that's for sale. Now remember, the best of all worlds is to come here that night. Second best of all worlds is to pick out what you really want and give somebody your proxy. When you register for the auction, you'll be putting in a payment method, which means, by the way, there won't be a long line to check out at the end of the auction like there has been in the past. Woo! Okay? You'll be putting in a credit card or something like that so that if you have somebody raising your number for something, they can buy it for you that night. Just tell them when to stop. I almost brought today, I have a jester hat that I bought at the auction, I want to say 5, 6, 7 years ago. I'm not going to tell you what I paid for that hat, because I was in the moment. And it was a good auction, and it was a cool hat. I've still got it. Almost brought it this morning. I thought that was too much. But please, join everybody on May the 7th, either in person or by proxy. Make donations of neat, cool community ideas, dinners, hikes, whatever they may be. You can see what's already up there. And if your thing is just to bake somebody a pie and take it to them and hand it to them and make eye contact, maybe without a mask, that would be cool too. So May the 7th, 5 to 8, right here.
Now, it seems like most of the people are here. Let's go ahead and greet one another. For those of you who have never been here before, the folks at home are going to turn their cameras on and they're going to tell us in the chat where they are worshiping from. Everybody at home, you are on the screen. Go ahead and wave. And I will let folks know where you are. Good morning from Blacksburg, Highland Park, Radford, Galax, Deer Run Road, Binghamton, New York, Salt Lake City in the Wasatch Mountains, Pulaski, Sunny Christiansburg, Newport, Blacksburg, Roanoke, Ellet Valley, Price's Fork. All right, wave again. Did we see them all? All right, now you are going to be on candid camera. So I'm going to lift up my camera, and if we can make it so people in the sanctuary and at home can see. Here we go. Okay, there's, and can you put it up on the screen? There we go. There's Mary Louise and Jane. I'll try not to make you seasick. So everyone at home can see everyone in the sanctuary. And as usual, the front seats are empty. Because when you come to church, you don't want to be in the front row. Walt's in the front row. It is so good to be together on this beautiful Easter morning. We have greeted one another over space and time. It's especially wonderful to greet our young people. And I appreciate people wearing masks, even though we're mask optional, because we have some folks here who are under 5 and so cannot be vaccinated. I'm so grateful that we can be together. So, did you notice anything different about me? Last week I promised that I would do something special and fun if we got 20 more pledges, and we did. I have never dyed my hair before, and I'm not sure that I'll ever do it again, but it was worth it. So we have 117 pledges for $282,000, but we still have a ways to go. Some people haven't realized that each week the charts look a little different because the difference has been so little. But we're we're about 80% of the way towards our goal, but about 70% of us have pledged. So I can't dye my hair again, but something really extra special, wonderful will happen if we get 20 more pledges by next Sunday. We'll have to talk with Jamie about that. One reason, apparently we get to dye my husband's hair. One reason why we have a little bit higher goal this year than last year is that we are hiring a full-time director of Lifespan Faith Development. And I am so excited to announce that the search committee had several very qualified candidates, but in the end we recommended and the board approved to hire Rachel Crane as our next director of Lifespan Faith Development. I am so thrilled to be able to continue working with Rachel, who has done such wonderful work before. We have also hired a new administrator. Her name is Erica Kelly, and she'll be starting on June 1st so that Lisa will have a month to train her before Lisa has her much-deserved retirement. So get those pledges in. Theodore, you ready to come light the chalice? All right, let's create some sacred space.
Please join me in reading the words on the screen as we light the chalice. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words, come, come, whoever you are. On this Easter morning, we welcome all who come to worship, like the man whose life and teachings held such promise for those whose lives were not valued in his time, the poor, the meek, the lame, the reviled. Let us follow his example. Come, come, whoever you are, whether you celebrate this holy day or other holy days, welcome to this place of peace and celebration. Welcome to worship. Please join me in saying our covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
So today we are going to explore the story of Easter, the most holy of holy days for Christians, to see what we might be able to learn from it. Some of us know the story very well, but some of us haven't been around quite as long. So if you are young or young at heart and would like to join me up front for the story of Easter, I invite you to come up. We have some carpet squares if you want to sit on carpet squares so that you don't have to sit straight on the floor. I am so glad to see some faces I have not seen in a long time. Dominic, in the flesh, hi. Hello, Noemi. And Genevieve? And Grant? Is sound okay? What's that? Yes, we're good. Yeah. So long ago, there lived a Jewish prophet and teacher. Here, you can turn around and look this way. Genevieve, you want to turn your whole self this way. That way you don't have to be crooked. There you go. What a beautiful dress. There was a teacher and a prophet. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. And he traveled from place to place, teaching and offering hope to people who were oppressed by a cruel government. It was, at that time, Palestine was ruled by the Roman Empire. And he taught that God loves every single person and that there's a place for everyone in the kingdom of heaven, including those who were hated or ignored. Can you think of some people who are hated or ignored now in our culture? Yeah.
There are some people who just don't get a fair shake. But Jesus said everyone was worthy. Everyone had a place in heaven. And large crowds would gather around to hear his message of hope and love and welcome. But Pontius Pilate and other Roman authorities thought he was a dangerous troublemaker. So when Jesus decided to go to the big city of Jerusalem to bring his message of universal love, it was a very dangerous thing to do because this was a challenge to those in power. On Thursday night of the week after he entered Jerusalem, he shared a meal with his friends and then went with them to this beautiful garden to pray for strength and courage. And then the Roman soldiers came and arrested him. And the next day, he was sentenced to death by being nailed on a wooden cross, which was the punishment that the Romans used for the people who they thought were troublemakers. And so on Friday, he was put to death. And his friends all scattered because they were afraid that the Roman soldiers would hurt them too. And after his death, one of his followers took his body and washed it and prepared it for burial. And he put Jesus's body in a tomb and he rolled a heavy stone across the entrance so nobody could get in. Can you imagine how the people who loved Jesus felt? How would you feel? Very, very sad. So, on the third day after his death, three women went to the place where Jesus was buried, and they were bringing spices to anoint his body. And they talked about how hard it would be to roll away the heavy stone in front of the tomb. But when they got there, they found the stone was already rolled away. And then when they looked inside, Jesus' body was gone. And the women ran away, and they were very, very afraid. But soon after that, Jesus' friends and supporters began to talk to one another about the things that Jesus had said and taught, about the wonderful way he had given them hope, about the idea that each and every one of us is loved by God. Sometimes when they talked about the things he had said, it seemed like he was right there with them. Sometimes when people are gone, we still remember them really, really well. And some of his followers were convinced he was reborn or resurrected. They remembered, and gradually they began to feel hopeful as they remembered the love he taught. And their sadness didn't go away completely, but it faded. As they remembered Jesus, they knew deep in their hearts that love is stronger than cruelty and stronger than death. And his spirit lived on. And that is why we celebrate Easter. What do you celebrate Easter with? She makes a cake?
Yeah, she makes a big cake that the bunny made.
She makes a bunny cake. So did she make one for this year? And there's candies? Excellent. So the bunny has a bow tie and ears.
I put lasers on the bow tie.
You put lasers on the bow ties?
Yeah.
Excellent. It sounds like a great bunny cake.
Every morning I wake up to an Easter basket, and today I wake up to a ginormous, like a ginormous
colored
key, and rainbow pencils.
So. No, I mean, hold on. They can't hear you, so I'm going to tell them. She wakes up to an Easter basket, and this morning she got a ginormous coloring page with lots of coloring pencils.
Yeah, and mermaids.
And mermaids. And what are you guys doing after the service today?
Easter hunt.
An Easter egg hunt.
For
dog treats. And so what will happen is the children will go outside and they will search for the eggs, and inside the eggs will be dog treats for the Montgomery County Animal Adoption Center. And you know what? After you collect all your eggs, bring them back to the table in the Crescent Garden and dump, and you can put the eggs in one place and the dog treats in another, and there's a special treat for you too, okay? During the service though, I'm inviting you and anyone else who wants to, there's a table back there and there's some eggs and there's some sparkly things and some stickers and some pens. And also there are some strips of paper. And what I want to invite you to do is either choose one that has writing on it or write something on it and put it inside the egg so that if somebody finds it, they'll open it up and they will find hope too. Make sense? If you would like to decorate eggs, there are plenty back there with all kinds of art supplies. So during the service, if any of you get antsy, go over to the table and get an egg and some of the stickers and so forth so you have something to give hope to people in your lives. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for asking that very good question. If you fill your egg with hope, you can do many things. You could hand it to someone who you think needs some hope. You can hide it someplace where somebody might find it and have a surprise for hope. Or if you need some hope, you can keep it for yourself. Okay? Excellent question. All right. Go make eggs or sit with your families and we'll go on with the service. It's so good to have you here. That'd be fine. Thank you for helping. Very good helpers. This morning, as the children and the young at heart create eggs filled with hope, we want to explore how Easter is a story of hope. And we'll be doing that with some beautiful poems written by my colleague, Reverend Molly Hausch Gordon. She tells the story of Holy Week, the whole of Holy Week, which is hard for us in Unitarian Universalist churches. Oftentimes, all we get is Easter, and we forget that the story starts on Palm Sunday and moves till today. So as you listen to these words, put yourself in the place of the speakers of the poems, the people for whom the message of Easter is especially important. We begin when Jesus and his disciples first come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. At the gate.
He came in on a donkey, but we greeted him as a king. The crowd was huge that day, as though all of Jerusalem's poor, tired, downtrodden had flooded into the streets, had risen up from the streets where we lay, had risen up waving palms, had put down our only coat to shield him from the mud. We had heard about him, you see, his miracles of healing, his acts of love. We heard how he had touched the lepers, eaten with the poor, turned over the tables in the temple. We knew he had come to preach peace and justice. We thought he had come to save us. Can you imagine a hope like that? You are desperate, you are starving, you are praying for relief, and here he comes. Here he comes, and he's everything. He's loving and kind, he's righteous and angry, he's humble and powerful, and he cares about us. The outcast, the prisoner, the lowest of the low. Can you imagine a hope like that?
One way that this congregation brings hope to the world is by collecting an offering. Every week, our congregation shares half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. As I said before, today's recipient is the Montgomery County Animal Care and Adoption Center, whose primary goal is to increase animal adoptions by expanding visitation and maximizing visibility through attractive design in a setting where prospective pet owners visit dogs in an outdoor courtyard, and cats in the community room. This is this choice of an offering on Easter was the children's choice several years ago, and we honor what they want to support with our dollars and our treats. You may give online using the link in the chat or through the ways listed on the screen. You'll also be able to give after the service as well. And for those of you who are in the sanctuary, if you'd like to give cash or check, there's a basket in the back of the sanctuary. We thank you for your generosity. This morning, we're gonna have a reverse offering as well. Some of you may have noticed as you walked in the door, there's a loom that's sitting next to the front door. And we have strips of cloth that we would like you all to take with you outside to weave into the loom. We're trying to weave together our community after time apart. So during the offering, if one of the children would like to help carry or maybe I'll do it. Also, as we collect our offering, Mary Louise will be playing Italiana from Ancient Airs and Dances by Ottorino Respighi, during which those of you who are in the sanctuary are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. For those online, we'll give you an opportunity later in the service where you can write it in the chat and we'll light candles for you as well. So let's take the offering of the church.
Please join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
We continue our exploration of hope with the second poem in the series. This one takes place on Good Friday at the cross. No, this cannot be. The man who came in like a king, our hero, trudging forward like a common thief, spat upon, insulted, betrayed. He carried our hopes, our dreams, our need, and now he carries a cross. Bruised, bloodied, weak, how could he be beaten? How could he fail us? How could we fail him? Standing by, helpless, or urging them on, no, it cannot be. We are not to blame. We are too powerless, too small. We watched them mock our hope with a crown of thorns. And then they brought out nails. That is when I turned away. I couldn't watch, but I could hear. Father, forgive them, he said as he died. That was what broke me. Father, forgive them. With his last breath, Father, forgive us. And now he is gone. The hands that healed us, the ears that heard us, the heart that beat for us, he is gone. He gave us hope. He gave us purpose. He loved us. And he is gone. Before we light candles of hope and remembrance for those online, I want to remind us all why we have this table, these candles, and this tradition. 15 years ago yesterday, this community suffered an unimaginable tragedy. when 32 students and staff at Virginia Tech lost their lives, were killed in what was then the worst mass shooting in the United States history. I imagine some members of this community might have felt like the speaker of our poem, helpless, powerless, confused, sad, angry, and devastated. But like those who suffered the loss of Jesus, this community came together to grieve and to honor those who had died and those who had lost their loved ones. And you all started lighting candles on this table. Candles of remembrance and hope in a hopeless time to honor and remember those who had died. So, the life and example of Jesus doesn't end on Good Friday. As a teenager, I thought it did because I listened to Jesus Christ Superstar, the album, over and over again. And it wasn't until years later that I realized that part of my sadness over the Easter story was that that story ended on Good Friday. But it doesn't end then. It continues to the day we commemorate today, Easter Sunday, at the tomb.
Weeping may last for a night. Weeping may last for a thousand nights. But joy comes in the morning. That morning we went to our beloved teacher's tomb. We went to anoint his body. We carried oil and cloths. We came to the tomb in sorrow, heads bowed low. But hope does not die so easily. It flickers inside, buried somewhere deep. Hope grows, blossoms like a rose, even through stone, even in hearts frozen by grief. When we arrived at the place where he lay, we dropped all that we carried in wonder, in fear, to see the tomb laid open and our beloved gone. "Do not weep," said the man. "This morning we rejoice. Love lives, hope lives. Jesus is not here," he said. "Come and see, he is risen. Our beloved is risen. Our hope is risen. Can it be? Can it be?"
The story of Easter is a story of hope. As we follow the progression of Holy Week through these three beautiful poems, we gain an appreciation of the progress of hope among those most affected by the ministry of Jesus. His entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is an occasion to celebrate the creation of hope among the hopeless, those who were desperate, starving, praying for relief, the outcast, the prisoner, the lowest of the low. Jesus aimed his ministry at those most in need of hope. He focused his attention on those most marginalized in society. He saw their worth and dignity. But he also preached for justice. He was loving and kind, but also righteous and angry. He overturned the tables in the temple. The hope he engendered was not simple or saccharine. It acknowledged the need for people to love courageously and to fight for justice. Can you imagine a hope like that? Imagine what it must have felt like to have such a champion who was on your side when it seemed the rest of the world was against you, and to welcome him to your city. The excitement in the air, the anticipation, the hope. Today's equivalent might be a sporting event when the adrenaline is high and the crowd's exuberance is infectious. I'm thinking Lane Stadium, maybe. And to go from that rush of excitement to deep despair, only days later, when Jesus was betrayed, beaten, insulted, and finally executed. Not only did they lose their champion, the one who healed them, who heard them, who loved them, but they lost their purpose and their hope. Their hope was mocked. Imagine their despair. Even if we have not suffered such a grievous loss, we have all known times of deep sadness and hopelessness. When we felt overwhelmed by the evil in the world and helpless to do anything to stop it. When it seemed we could not go on. But even when we are filled with sorrow, hope is possible. The poet says, hope does not die so easily. It flickers inside, buried somewhere deep. Hope grows, blossoms like a rose, even through stone, even in hearts frozen by grief. Can you think of times when your heart felt frozen by grief? What helped hope grow? I see people holding hands. Love. Community. The support of others who know your grief. Hope is possible. But the question at the end of the last poem, our beloved is risen, our hope is risen. Can it be? Can it be? That is a question that must be asked over and over again. And the answer depends not on whether the story of the crucifixion and resurrection is literally true or not. In the hearts and minds of some of his followers, the death and resurrection of Jesus is everything because it means that they are saved. Their sins are washed clean. But for others, the life and teachings of Jesus are enough. The example of his love for those most needing love, his insistence on justice for all, these are enough to remind us that we too can and must love courageously and fight for justice. Can it be? Can it be? Only if we make it so. We extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of community, the light of truth, or the fire of commitment. These we take in our hearts, out into the world, until we are together again. Happy Easter, go in peace, go in love, and go with hope.